Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyer, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. And this show originates in Denver, Colorado. And I don't know if people around the country know the big news out today that a woman was not allowed to get on an airplane at Denver International Airport. She had knitting needles. They were afraid she was going to knit an Afghan. And so anyway, we'll update you on that as we get more news. But welcome to Bob Inyer Live. This is a historic week for us. After 3 years of being off the air, we're back on in South Bend, Indiana on WHME Radio, 103.1 FM. And so if we get callers during the show, I imagine they'll come from South Bend. I imagine. Or maybe the outskirts of South Bend. Maybe Niles, Michigan. Hey, our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. And what I'd like to begin with is the good news and the bad news of the day. The good news and the bad news. Which would you like first? The good news, let's do the good news. Well, let me tell you what the good news and the bad news headlines are, and then we'll talk about them. The good news first. The great news is that the Taliban government has fallen. The capital of Afghanistan, Kabul, the stronghold of the Taliban, Kandahar, Herat, Mazar-i-Sharif, the Bagram airfield, I mean, the whole country. 3 days ago, the Northern Alliance, which there's nobody to write home to mom about, but the Northern Alliance held two provinces. Today, they hold the whole country, except for maybe two provinces. Anyway, that's number one. Taliban government falls without a single American combat fatality. Good news, George Bush ordered, he signed an order that allows for trial by military of terrorists. Any of the terrorists involved in the September 11th attack on America. For example, let's say we happen to be so unfortunate as to capture Osama bin Laden. Let's say some Pashtun warlord wants the money offered for Osama bin Laden, and he sends his guys out, ambushes Osama, and hands him over to us. What a shame. We don't want him. We want him dead. Yes, Bush said dead or alive, but he meant dead. You got to read between the lines. Want it dead or alive? He meant dead. So anyway, if we get him, then what are we going to do? Try him in New York City? Well, Bush has signed an order today, late today, that allows for trial by military. Excellent. The good news and the bad news. We're doing the good news first, just the headlines to start with. I've won my lawsuit. Now, is that up there with the headlines in the nation? Hey, I've won my lawsuit against the city and county of Denver. How long ago? When was it they threw me off the campus when I was there to tell people about Jesus Christ and don't kill kids against abortion? That was over the summer. And I was thrown off attempting to exercise my free speech rights and say abortion is murder and repent and turn to Jesus Christ on a college campus. And I was thrown off in the city and county of Denver. Anyway, we sued them and the college and another defendant. And out of the three defendants, Denver has just settled. They're repealing the ordinance, the law they used to arrest a friend of mine on and to stop our protest. And, oh, here we go. Here we go. Who's calling? Randy from California. Hi, Randy. Hey, Randy, you got to call our 800 number, not my cell phone. Yeah, from 9 to 10 Eastern time. We're right now. I'm in the studio in our underground bunker. You know, the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. Yeah, we're doing a show. Yeah, so call my cell phone when we get off the air, right? Yeah, that'll work. Okay, thanks a lot. God bless you. But say hi to your family for me. All right, bye. Hey, Randy, he's gone to Israel with us. And to New Zealand to protest Bill Clinton, the rapist president. At any rate, I won the lawsuit. Part of the settlement, Denver is repealing the ordinance they used to silence Christian pro-lifers, and they're giving us $4,000. So anyway, this is the headlines. We'll get to the stories later. So the good news and the bad news. This is all the good news so far. The Taliban government falls without a single American combat fatality. George Bush signs an order to allow for trial by military, just so we don't have to go through the headache of a New York. Imagine a civilian jury trying Osama bin Laden in New York City. I can't even comprehend it. It'd make the O.J. Simpson trial look like a reasonably swift execution of justice. And then the good news. Okay, so we got four good news headlines. The Salvation Army rescinds their homosexual benefits package. That's good news. The Salvation Army just, what was it, 3 days ago? Three, 4 days ago, they announced they're going to give benefits to homosexual employees and their spouses. And we're thinking, homosexual employees at the Salvation Army? What are they doing with homosexual employees at the Salvation Army? It's a Christian ministry. So anyway, Darlene Waldron, she's the matron of our church, Denver Bible Church. She's what a neat gal. She starts a letter, an email campaign, and a phone calling campaign. And not only Darlene, 1,000 Christians around the country, the Salvation Army rescinds the homosexual benefits plan. Man, that's got to be the first time that's happened, huh? In the country, where some major organization gives benefits to homosexuals and then takes them back. That's pretty cool. Okay, so those are the good news headlines that we'll get to. The bad news is the American Airlines plane crash yesterday in New York City is looking uglier and scarier than we had thought as of early today. I mean, the leading theory from moments after the crash until just a couple hours ago was that this American Airlines flight crashed in Queens on Long Island because of catastrophic engine failures. That was the leading theory. But now, apparently, after the initial inspection by the NTBS, the initial inspection of the engines, GE, General Electric jet engines, the engines did not fail. They didn't fail. What happened? The two engines fall off the airplane. The tail of the plane fell off. The tail of the airplane fell off. We have no idea as to why. The wreckage of the plane is scattered over some miles. It fell apart before it hit the ground. That's not common. There's no crash in memory where the plane comes apart in flight before it hits the ground within 30 seconds of the pilots being aware that something's wrong. They take off a few minutes after takeoff. They feel a shudder. They feel a second shudder. They go for full throttle, and that's it. It's over. The plane falls apart. The tail falls off and falls into the bay. Both engines fall off. They land in a gas station, another one a block away. The plane comes down. Now, obviously, our government has been saying that they are not omitting any possibility. All options are open as to what caused this. But here's just a small pet peeve I have. They say, however, there's no evidence of a crime or terrorism or criminal activity. Well, there is some evidence. There's not conclusive evidence, but there's some evidence. For example, The plane fell apart in midair. That's evidence of something. Now, it's not certain. You know, it reminds me in the Denver Police Department. Now, I've got a dear friend who's been with the Denver Police Department for 38 years. And he's a strong pro-lifer, and he'll probably join us on our protest at the local abortion mill on Saturday morning. That'd be great. But I like government and police. I'm a supporter of government and police. By the way, our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So the Denver Police Department, in their evidence room, where if you get caught selling crack, they keep it in their evidence room. And if you had $12,000 on you, they keep that money in the evidence room. And some guns used in a crime, they keep it in the evidence room. Well, they found out that there was tens of thousands of dollars missing from the evidence room. And not only that, drugs missing from the evidence room. A lot of money, a lot of drugs. It's all missing. And they're investigating for months. And every single time the Denver Police Department said anything about this case that never ended, they always said, however, there's no evidence of theft. There's no evidence of theft? Well, is the money there? No, it's not there. Well, there's your evidence. No wonder you can't solve crimes. There's your evidence. The money's gone. It's not there. That's the evidence. They confuse maybe proof with evidence. Yeah, maybe aliens beamed the money out. But even that would be theft, right? I mean, maybe it spontaneously combusted. No, that didn't happen. Maybe it was misfiled. It went in somebody's lunchbox, and they took it home, and they threw it out with the rest of the trash that night, with the mashed potatoes. That could be. But believe me, there's no evidence for that. The evidence is that the money's missing. So there is evidence that it was stolen. It's missing. All right? Sometimes there's some cops that are corrupt. After all, when the law is corrupt, law enforcement becomes corrupt. Just like we have the idiot cop in Washington, D.C., who left a note and white powder at his post, and he went home, and he left it, and the next guy comes in, and this is at a subway post that leads right into the Capitol building. And so now he's on administrative leave for, you know, a false anthrax scare. Oh, brother. So there's no evidence of a criminal behavior in this airplane crash, huh?
Let's start from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's where a lot of unbelievers start their argument. They think their ancestors were pond scum. No matter how much you want to agree with them, the Bible says we were created in the image of God. So do you know how to defend creation when someone calls it a fairy tale? What will you say to an evolutionist when he states, "We've been here for millions of years"? Get the information you need to make the evolutionists squirm in their chair. Bob Enyart has been a talk show host and a student of science for many years. He knows the evolutionary argument, and he knows that science proves there is a creator. Genesis Creation is a 6-tape audio album for $29.95. Give us a call today at 1-888-8-ENYART. The Bible is not only a book that shows us the one true God, it's also a book that tells the history of the Jewish people, a history filled with names and places that we can still find the evidence of today. Secular historians have doubted many things the Bible claims, including the existence of King David and the city of Nineveh. Archaeological digs in the Middle East prove over and over the skeptics were wrong and the Bible is correct. Bob recently took a group of people to Israel to see firsthand the evidence that the Bible is historically accurate. we produced a two-hour video so you can join Bob and see for yourself that at least the history of the Jewish people has been recorded accurately. And if the history of the Bible is true, then the message of the one true God may be true. To see the evidence for yourself, give us a call and ask for Bob's Bible Tour of Israel, available for $19.95. Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, you can give us a call, 303-463-7789. That's 303-463-7789. So that's the bad news. The bad news is about the airplane. And we don't know that it was sabotage. We don't know that. But there is evidence to that effect since all our investigators are stymied that you don't see airplanes fall apart in midair. Within 30 seconds, the tail falls off, the engines fall off, and this plane, apparently, this Airbus, manufactured in France, was not capable of dropping fuel, as there were reports yesterday that the fuel was dumped by the pilot, which would have been a wise thing to do, but apparently this plane doesn't allow that. It doesn't, you can't do it. So, but the wings were falling off. So, and that's where airplanes store their fuel, is in their wings, typically. So the fuel is in the wings, the engines fall off, the wings are twisting, and the fuel spilled out. What a tragedy, what a terrible nightmare tragedy. The loss of innocent life. I think there were six infants on that flight. And my wife and I, we have seven boys between us, three little ones, ages 4, 2, and as Michael, our two-year-old, if you ask him, how old is the baby Dominic? Michael says, half. Now, Michael, I don't even know if he knows how old he is, but he knows the baby is half because he's 6 months, and he figures out that's half a year. How old's Dominic, Michael? Half. So when we hear that six infants died on that plane, that's just devastating. So, okay, we're going to the phones. In Elkhart, Indiana, Doreen, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
This is Doreen Schultz. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Thank you for calling.
Well, good. I wanted to congratulate you about getting on the air.
Now, Doreen, could we tell the audience that that we know each other?
Yes, we do. And I wanted to start out by thanking you for flying from Colorado in June and marrying my husband and I. It was great.
Doreen, it was such a joy to bring you guys together in matrimony. And you're married now?
Yes.
You and Sean, how long? Just since June?
Yes, June 28th.
Not even a half a year.
And God's really laid it on my heart to give you a call today to tell you my my story. And maybe I could save a life, hopefully.
Tell me, what?
Well, about 6 weeks ago, I became pregnant.
Oh.
And tragically, Bob, we lost our baby about 3 days ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Doreen.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's been really emotional, and I'd like to
That's just
talk
devastating.
To anyone out there that could be listening to me and realize that if there is someone pregnant and possibly thinking about killing their baby, to realize if you're worried about pain, you know, it's too late for pain, really. You've made a child, you've made a baby, and you really don't have a choice. That's the way I feel.
Well,
I mean,
of course,
I didn't have a choice, Doreen. Excuse me, Bob?
You're right.
Well, I didn't have a choice on Friday when my body spontaneously aborted my baby.
Yes.
But, you know, somebody else does have a choice. And the pain, you know, that you feel when that baby's being pulled out of your womb, not by choice, you know, is really hard. And the emotional pain that somebody will definitely go through if they do that to their baby will last them forever.
Yeah, the tragedy of losing your baby because of a complication where the baby dies and there's a miscarriage. That's so tragic. But you compound that infinitely when the mother decides to kill her own baby.
That's right. You know, and if somebody would just, you know, by this point, if they're listening to me, they probably only have 8 months or less to go. What is 8 months to give a life? And, you know, if you don't want to be a mother, that's fine. Give it to someone who does. Someone, you know, like my husband and I that would love to have a baby, and I know that we will someday. And but, you know, don't kill your baby. You will definitely remember it for the rest of your life. And it's your responsibility, definitely, to take that baby. And I mean, they've given a chance. You know, their mother didn't kill them.
Doreen, our church, Denver Bible Church, that I happen to pastor, we're so pro-life. We had 10 women pregnant all at the same time.
Yeah.
And and there's a woman right now, a beautiful young mother-to-be, who's 6 months pregnant but going through a very difficult pregnancy, and they're worried she could give birth any day.
Yeah.
So she's on bed rest, and they're debating whether to give the baby steroids to strengthen his lungs in case he gets born at 7 months of age. But, and Doreen, let me let you know that we had a family in our church who gave birth to a very premature baby. The baby was just about a half a pound, about just over 8 ounces. And that precious little baby lived just 24 hours, and then he died.
Yeah.
But, you know, these babies, at the youngest of ages, the Bible shows us in the womb, they have joy. They have joy, and they have joy toward God and toward their parents.
Yeah, and so I believe it. In my heart and my mind, I held my baby and nursed my baby, you know, 5 weeks.
Yeah, you do have a baby, Doreen, but you'll wait till you get to heaven.
Oh, I know.
To meet your little child.
That's right.
And Sean.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be a blessing. It's a tragedy right now. But God has given us, he didn't give the angels, but he gave only human beings the ability to reproduce. And what a privilege and an honor it is that we can bring children into this world. And look at what so many of us do, almost 4,000 a day, they kill their babies.
I can't imagine it. I just can't.
Yeah. Doreen, did you hear me say that we won our lawsuit against the city of Denver? This summer, I was on a local college campus, Auraria campus, and I was there to tell the students that abortion is the killing of children, and that you need to become a Christian. And so that was my purpose. Well, students at your average college campus today, they're not very tolerant, and they don't really like diversity. They don't tolerate Christians and pro-lifers, and they don't want any diversity. They only want people who say you should kill your kids. So anyway, there was a virtual riot. It was a near riot on campus. Hundreds of students. It actually got sort of scary, and my friends and I were kicked off the campus.
Right.
Instead of the students who are threatening violence, instead of the police, because they're right in the face of the cops, and they're trying to get the other students to attack me physically. We got this on videotape. And so the cop, he punishes me and tells me I can't be there. I can't speak my message. I have to leave. And so I said to the officer said, I'm asking you to leave. And so Doreen, I said to him, well, if you're asking me, I'd like to stay. Because there's kids being killed, and I want to stay. And he said, well, I'm asking you to leave. I said, officer, if you're asking me, I'm going to stay. He said, well, I'm ordering you to leave. And we got all that on videotape.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me, and I'm glad there's people out there like you, you know, that are willing to stand up for what's right. We need to hear that, especially young kids need to hear that.
Well, yeah, right. College students are killing their kids in epidemic numbers.
Yeah.
And so, Doreen, what happened was the city of Denver saw the videotape, and they settled with us, and they're repealing the ordinance under which they arrested a friend of mine and kicked me off campus. And they're giving us $4,000 for our legal fees and all and our pain in the neck.
Yeah.
But we're still in court. This is in federal court. And the man that Ronald Reagan appointed as the U.S. attorney in Denver years ago, his name is Mike Norton. He's our lawyer. He's a pro-life Christian man. And what a neat Christian guy. And we're fighting in any venue we can to get people to wake up and stop killing kids.
That's great.
Doreen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a painful thing. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to get through it with God's help, definitely.
Tell Sean that I will pray for him, and I love you guys.
Okay, we love you too, Bob.
Thanks, Doreen.
All right, bye-bye.
Wow. Wow, a young bride calls in, and she's lost her baby, the pain that goes with losing a child, miscarriages, how devastating they are. But she calls in to warn other women out there who might be thinking about an abortion, don't do it. Hey, you know, it's pretty difficult to get a city. Cities don't really care much what pro-lifers think or say. I wonder if my studio audience agrees with that. Do cities care what pro-lifers think? No, they don't care. The studio audience is unanimous. And so in the city and county of Denver, Colorado, especially they don't care. They especially don't care. They despise pro-lifers. So we filed this lawsuit in federal court against them and the Auraria campus and a third defendant. And the city of councils, the city and county of Denver is the first of the defendants to settle. They settled out of court. They said, we'll repeal our ordinance and we'll give you $4,000 for your troubles. So we're still, our lawsuit is still on against the college. And I don't think they're going to get off as easily. And what we want to do is deter them for thinking that they could mistreat Christians and mistreat pro-lifers. All right. Now, hey, our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. And by the way, if let's say you catch part of the show, not the whole show, you could go to the web anytime. If you got the web, you could go to the web and, this is good news, go to kgov.com, kgov.com, and you could tune into the show. Bob and Yurt Live. You could also listen to Doug McBurney's show, Weekly Worldview, there at KGov. KGov.com. All right. Now, so let's get back to the good news and the bad news. We covered the bad news thoroughly, sufficiently. We don't know yet what happened to this American Airlines plane, but there, it looks bad. It looks worse than just a crash. We don't know. I'm not saying that it is, but boy, 2 months after planes are flown into New York City buildings, and you've got an American Airlines plane, again, flown into New York City houses, it's just ugly. It's bad. But we'll find out. Hopefully, our government will be able to figure out exactly what happened. We hope and pray, because the truth is always important. 1-800-8-ENYART.
Busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
You must be them NYART people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart, so if you could give me a buzz. My name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website. And then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times. And, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart.
Who are these people who call us? I want to know. How, my producer put together, he said, why don't I take a string of these wackos who call us and leave messages on our answering machine and just let the audience know what we put up with here. We get homosexuals who call us every day. Someday, what's the most a homosexual will call us in one day? 20 or 30 times in a day, and normally at least one or two times a day. And different homosexuals, they take turns, they from all around the country. And, you know, you end up having a relationship with these people. Not that you plan to, but when they call you for years, we go off the air 3 years ago, and 3 years later, homosexuals are still calling us obsessively. At least we take some satisfaction in thinking that at least when they're calling us, they're not molesting anyone. So at least they're doing something, and they listen to our answering machine. It's just too much. All right. So you see what we got to put up with. 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. You know, that guy, what did he say? I hate you and I wish you had cancer. That's you know, liberals are too much. And that woman said, you hypocrite. I wonder what a hypocrite is. Anyway, she called us a hypocrite. And she said, you should be ashamed even to have him walking around. What is that? What does she think? I should be executed? Or maybe rolled around on a gurney? They should be ashamed to have him walking around? That's so funny. That cracks me up. Okay. Oh, and by the way, when we're on the air, you could not only call in at 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278, but you can also email us at kgovlive@aol.com. And you could try instant messaging too. And it's not that we don't sit You know, we get instant messages during the show that are corny. We've been doing the show on the internet for a few years. So we get corny stuff, and we tend to ignore it quite often. Or maybe we ignore it usually. But every once in a while, we actually have an instant message interaction with someone. So the way to email us is kgovlive@aol.com. All right? And in fact, I'll check that right now just to see if...
You've got mail.
Oh, thank you. I've got mail. We always have mail. Zillions and gazillions of mail. Okay, now here's an email. Now, and normally we just look at the emails from today, the day of the show, or as the show's on. This here, I will call Bob Enyart. I'll call Bob Enyart, that's the subject. And one more lie from the Feminazi liar. This is from a John K. He said, did you ever check with Enyart as promised on September 26th? As of November 13th, 2001, more than 6 weeks after you made this feminist comment, you once again proved your incompetence, arrogance, and stupidity. What is this about? Oh, I see. This is a whole dialogue. That's the end of it. You got to read it from the bottom up to know what in the world they're talking about. Come on. All right. This is from a manifesto at netzero.net. All right. That's too complicated. Let me get to the phones. In South Bend, Indiana, Dorothy, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Dorothy. How are you?
Fine. Congratulations on being back.
I'm so thrilled to be on the air, Dorothy, and especially in South Bend.
Right, right. Bob and I have been listening the last two nights.
Well.
And so we're so glad you're back.
Hey, give me some technical feedback, Dorothy. Right now, we don't have our ISDN equipment up and running. That should be ready by next week. So we're just dialing in with our Gentner telephone interface.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear the show okay?
Yeah, we're hearing it pretty good. It's got a few
little quirks to it.
Quirks to it, but it's coming in pretty good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We're going to work that out, and we hope that by next week it'll be much clearer. You'll have to let us know.
Well, we will.
All right.
So good luck and keep up the good work, Bob.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the call.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. Now. Hey, huh? Okay. Hey, just to let you guys know out there, when I was doing the good news, I said I won my lawsuit against Denver. Well, we have other similar good news. At a 14-year-old member of our church, his name is Chad, he made an announcement Sunday morning, and he said that he went to our local abortion mill Saturday morning as a Christian to help save lives, and he told us about a save. That's where a baby was scheduled to be killed, and the baby's now alive because Christians were there. And this young guy, Chad, and a friend of ours, Ken and Joe Scott, they went to a car that parked out on the street instead of inside the Planned Parenthood parking lot. And they went to the car, and Joe Scott has a book, a notebook of photographs of babies in the womb to show the mom how the baby's developing. And this young woman who went there to have an abortion with her boyfriend or her husband or whatever, she was convulsing in tears, crying. And Joe Scott is showing her about the baby. And she's coming to the decision that how could she do this? How could she kill her own baby? And so then Joe focuses, and Chad is there, is, you know, helping Joe. Sometimes people get so emotional or irate. Sometimes they're on drugs. Sometimes they lick people's car windows. Well, that's another story I'll tell you about sometime. But anyway, Chad, even though he's a 14-year-old guy, he's a big guy, strong guy, and he was there sort of to protect Joe. We like to not do these things just one person. And of nothing, Joe didn't need protecting. Everything was fine. But then Joe set her sights. I was going to say her fangs, but it wasn't that. No, set her sights on the boyfriend or the husband because the wife is a total emotional wreck. And she said, now you're not going to take her in there, are you? You can't do this to her. You can't force her to kill her baby. She doesn't want to kill her baby. She wants to love her baby. And the guy agreed. And that was it. And they saved that baby. Now, quite often, how many saves were there last year at the one abortion mill in Denver that my friends and I go? So far this year, it's not over yet. So far, 85 babies saved, confirmed, where the mother tells us that she changed her mind. She's not going to kill the baby. Now, many, many, many times we get to meet the babies after they're born because they bring the baby to the abortion mill after it's born to celebrate with the Christian pro-lifers and say, here's my baby. Thank you for saving my baby. And me, thank you for caring enough to be there. And you know, these Christian pro-lifers who are out there, they're the ones who are vilified by the body of Christ, the church. They're the ones that people don't really want to hang out with. They're the black sheep of the Christian family. You know, Jesus said you have 99 sheep and one goes astray. He goes after them and he hangs out with them. In the Christian church, 99 people out of 100 will condemn the Christian who goes to bring the black sheep back, the lost sheep back into the fold, the woman going to kill her baby, and their Christian pro-lifers there, pleading with her not to kill her baby, don't commit murder, don't despise God, don't hate him, but humble yourself and repent. And so many of these women become Christians. And that's so exciting too. So anyway, good news. Hey, but that's in Denver. You guys are in Indiana. Indiana doesn't have any abortion mills. There's nothing you can do in Indiana. Oh, wait a minute. I used to live in Indiana. I should know better than that. One of our studio audience guys lived in Indiana, right? Didn't you? Born and raised in Indiana. Now you're in Denver. Whatever brought you to Denver? Oh, Bob, and you're alive. Ah, you, what a nice guy. We have a number of people who've come to move to Colorado to be part of our ministry, especially when we went off the air. People said, how could Bob and Your Life go off the air? We're coming out so we could see Bob and Your Life live. And we've been kicking ever since we went off the air. We haven't taken a break. But at any rate, Mishawaka has an abortion mill, right? Yeah, Mishawaka does. You could go to Mishawaka, go to their abortion mill Saturday morning, meet other pro-lifers. I don't think you'd be the only one. There's a crisis pregnancy center right across the street. Right there. You could park at the crisis pregnancy center. And what are the names of them? I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe somebody remembers. You can call me at 303-463-7789 if you know. Or you could look in the phone book for that matter. The yellow page is under A for assassination. Oh, no, it's not that. Under A for annihilation. No, under A for abortion. That's it. Look under A for abortion, and find the Mishawaka Abortion Child Killing Center, and there's a crisis pregnancy center right across the street. You could go there, or in Warsaw. How about Warsaw? Now, WHME, does it come in Warsaw? I don't know if WHME comes in Warsaw. Maybe part of Warsaw. I'd like to find that out. But at any rate, there's a Planned Parenthood right on the main street in Warsaw, right across from some pretty neat restaurant out there. I don't know if I remember the name of that restaurant. The Blue Lagoon. No, not the Blue Lagoon. A good restaurant out there. It'll come to me. But there's a Planned Parenthood right across the street from that restaurant. So anyway, there are things to do to protect life. You know, when we saw on September 11th that attack on America, how many of us thought that if I were there, if I was on the plane like the heroes on Flight 93 in Pennsylvania that went down, if I was on that plane, I would have done something. If I would have had the opportunity to save one baby from that tower, I would have done something. Well, we have an opportunity, and the opportunity is now.
Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, he carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah, and you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do you do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline, long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible. You can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYART.
They were afraid she was going to knit an Afghan. Now, at least there's a good reason for keeping knitting needles off airplanes. Right? In Denver, they were afraid this old gal was going to knit an Afghan, so they didn't let her on the plane with the knitting needles. That was pretty good. Okay, now, all right. So we don't take every call, right? Not every one. The call screener doesn't allow every call onto the show, and that's good because we want good quality calls. All right, hey, the good news, George Bush, President Bush signed an order late today that allows for the trial of people accused of terrorism by the military, by a military commission instead of civilian courts. That's great news. That's the most wonderful legal news I've heard in my life in America. That's great. Bush signed this order just before he left for Crawford, Texas, you know, his ranch where he's meeting Putin, Vladimir Putin, the Russian president. And you know what they just did in Russia? They just legalized land ownership. You can own land now in Russia. That's dramatic. Is that dramatic or what? The world is a different place. It's very, it's unbelievable the things that are happening. So anyway, but Bush says that we're going to try terrorists. Like, for example, could you imagine the nightmare if we captured Osama bin Laden alive? Could you imagine that? A New York City jury pool from hell being commissioned in there, and then the voir dire? That's lawyer talk for asking questions. And you're going to find out the jury pool has Muslims and Arabs and anti-American liberals. And there's nothing wrong with Arabs. They're just like if you're Italian or German or doesn't matter. You're from Kenya. We're all human beings. We're all sinners. We all need to turn to Jesus. But there are loyalties. We found out on the show we did yesterday that a significant percentage of Muslims think that the terrorist attack was right and good, and that it's wrong for us to try to avenge ourselves. You even have some liberal Christians who think it's wrong for us to avenge ourselves, and they'll be anti-death penalty people. There might even be, they might even allow Democrats on the jury. I mean, what a mess it would be. What a hideous mess to have Osama bin Laden on trial in New York City. So at any rate, Bush signed this executive order so that we'll try them by military. And that's great for a lot of reasons. The main one is it avoids a civilian jury. Could you imagine the nightmare? The White House must have been thinking, what if we catch him? Oh, that'd be terrible. What if we don't kill him? It'd be terrible to bring him back. And imagine the dream team, the Johnny Cochran's that would be representing him. The make me want to vomit team. Remember Johnny Cochran got a murderer off scot-free and then his own son was murdered? Remember that? And Johnny Cochran had said he was doing it for free. But he wasn't representing O.J. Simpson for free. He just didn't realize the cost that his own son would pay with his own blood. Because when you mainstream murder, a lot more people get murdered. At any rate, what a nightmare. So, and another benefit of a military commission trying a case is it doesn't have to be on American soil, it'll be held overseas. Right? You could, if they catch Osama bin Laden, you could try him overseas. Yeah, like in a cave. Yeah. Just try him in a cave and then find him guilty and then shoot him. However you want to do it. Shoot him and then try him and then find him guilty. Or shoot him and then find him guilty and then try him. It doesn't matter the order in which you do it. The important thing is that you shoot him. Or hang him. It doesn't matter. They have horses there. You could draw them in quarter. It doesn't matter. Just do it swiftly and painfully. And it has to be terrifying. Because God said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, life for life. God said that. God. You know, I have a red letter Bible. Is anybody out there in Indiana, you think, have red letter Bibles where the words of God are in red? See, but most Christians, most Bibles have only New Testament red letter. And that's sort of handicapped because God was around in the Old Testament too. So my Bible has red letters, Old and New Testament. Wherever God speaks, it's red letters. And God had a lot to say, Old and New Testament, about how to deal with criminals. And in the New Testament, Romans 13, God said the governments should bring terror against criminals, that the government should terrorize criminals, not innocent people, but criminals. All right, so that's the good news. Oh, and the great news about the Salvation Army, their national headquarters rescinded their homosexual benefits policy. They rescinded it. They took it back because they had just said that homosexuals could have benefits go to their partners, their unmarried domestic partners. What in the world is the Salvation Army doing with homosexual employees in the first place? They should rescind that. Hey, Salvation Army, rescind this. Rescind homosexual employees. You're a Christian organization. Shouldn't have homosexual employees. That's wrong. Why don't you have child molesting employees? Why don't you have prostitutes working for you? They would help out with the winos. That might be reasonable. They said, well, we're trying to get government funding. Well, what if the government said, we'll give you funding if you give drugs to the homeless men who come in your shelter? You're going to do that? You're going to say, well, what are we going to do? We need the funding. So we got to give them drugs, and we got to tell them it's okay to be a homosexual. And what if the government said, hey, you got to tell them don't believe in Jesus, and then we'll give you a government grant? And is it, well, how much money are we talking? Man. So anyway, that's good news. Salvation Army rescinds homosexual benefits. The Taliban government falls. Kabul, Kandahar, the whole country practically. You know, the Taliban are retreating from Kandahar. They're going to go to the mountains because they have no choice. They can't go south because it's a desert. You can't hide in the desert. So they got to go north to the mountains, but that's where the Northern Alliance is. They're just in a mess. And if they go, they say, we're going to go up in the hills and then we're going to attack from the hills. Hey, guys, it doesn't work. You know, we have Apache helicopters. And we have planes and we have lasers. We put them on you and you blow up. We have daisy cutters. We drop them and it wipes out everything in a half mile diameter circle, including cutting the daisies. So it's not going to work. And this is exactly what we had to do. The government of Afghanistan had to pay the price. They had to pay the death penalty, meaning that their government had to be put to death. The government had to be destroyed, taken down. Now that this was successful, and as swiftly as it was, our government is admitting, basically, read between the lines, they made a mistake 10 years ago when they didn't kill Saddam Hussein. They're not making that mistake again. The Mullah Omar is gone. Osama bin Laden is gone. Soon enough, not yet. Well, I don't know. What time is it? What time is it in Afghanistan? Let's see. It's 3 minutes before the next bomb. That's what time it is. So after we destroy the government in Afghanistan and Osama bin Laden, then we have to destroy Saddam Hussein, who's employed 3,000 scientists to make chemical and biological weapons to kill Americans. That second step is mandatory. It's not optional. It has to be done. Then after that, maybe the governments of the Sudan and Yemen and Iran and Syria, and should we say Saudi Arabia, maybe they'll wake up, smell the coffee, and say, we're not going to support terrorism anymore. The potential cost is too high. That's what we got to do. Let's support our government, our military, and doing just that. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right. Oh, and hey, I saved this just to the end, so only our closest friends will know. Tomorrow's show, don't call in. But it will blow your mind, and it's going to go along with photographs on the website at kgov.com. Photos on the website in our gallery, the KGov Gallery, go together with the show. It will blow your mind. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.